I think they had living quarters in the place, as I remember. One of the Grinder's staff told them, though, at the time, that the circuses that came to town would unload there. And I don't remember ever of Barnum Bailey unloading there, but the smaller ones like South Florida, I don't remember the names of those, but they go rough and unload their animals and follow them downtown later for the parades, and because they had parades in those days right down Pine Avenue. And,
in other words,
my friend?
Do you remember where they set up the tent?
I kind of remember that. I think it was north of Dayton Boulevard, oh, quite a ways. It was north somewhere. More likely out towards the Anaheim area, out towards about where Zachariah was. Because later on, and a few years later, about 1921, 22 along there, there was a tent show out there, and for quite a while they had vaudeville out there. And I remember the beginnings of that because Eddie Peabody was one of the performers out there. The old banjo, Eddie Peabody, and I had my sister's first husband was quite a ukulele player. He could play by notes, you know, and he was clever with string instruments and saxophone, and he played with Eddie Peabody out there in the group. And that tent show out on East Anaheim, about had a brick door or somewhere in there. And of course, the model shows were picture houses up until whatever year, 1918 or 20, somewhere along there. But down on the pike. Oh, I saw newspapers down there too, later in. We were still living in the Ramona apartments when the Canadian picnic disaster occurred. And I finally came back to that road disaster. I worked, I think, about a year and a half, and I got to go back to school and then back to Downey Avenue.
Yeah, do you remember the Canadian picnic disaster?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't right on the spot when it happened, but I was right down to the main apartment just about 3 or 4 blocks away. The floor crashed through, and I don't know how many fatalities there were occurred, but there were quite a few, and I know there were lawsuits for many years on end the city of Long Beach because it was a city facility. The old bandstand, I used to sell papers on the east end of the pipe, mostly. That was one of my favorite spots to get customers. I sold a 1 cent record. There was a 1 cent paper out, and there was a record, and I think the hall, of a green sheet in the Times. I sold all of them.
You sold Los Angeles papers?
Yes. Also sold the Los Angeles Times. And the pipe in those days, of course, was a place you could go to, a family could go to and have a good clean family and not and set about where we were around or thereafter. Not begin to let's say be a rather unsatisfactory place for young children to go to. But one of the 12 we used to get in those days was the Halloween night. They'd have parades down there, and everybody would costume up and go down and walk up and down the pike and have fun and do all this, that, and the other. And on New Year's, when they'd get a bag of brand new 1 cent pieces and scatter them along the pike, and it'd be a scramble for coming right on. You probably know about that too. But we used to take part in all that. And so, see, I don't know, about high school age, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. You said you went to Christian Endeavor. Did you go to church as soon as you came to
Lafayette,
start going to church
someplace? Well, that church there, through the Boy Scout troop that we organized, I was going to the related to the Atlantic Avenue school. Some of the boys accosted me and said, we're forming a Boy Scout troop, and you want to be a Boy Scout? And I said, sure, I want to be a Boy Scout. So, and it was in the sponsorship, the only sponsorship of one of the elders of the church, the old United Christian Church at Prison Atlantic. Not the same building that's there now. They've had 3 buildings. But so I joined the Boy Scouts and enjoyed it very much. And then the boys in the scout troop, some of them said, most of us go to Sunday school class here every Sunday morning. I didn't even know what a Sunday school class was, but I said, do you want to come to Sunday school? Well, I said, if you go, I guess I ought to go too. So it was just one of those things. And so I started going to Sunday school, and
what did you do in the Boy Scouts? You didn't go to... You couldn't go to Camp Will J. Reed. That was a later thing, but what
kind of
thing to do?
We were on summer camping trips. The famous place I remember was an area called Pine Flats up in San Diego Mountains, beyond Mount Wilson, about 15 miles. And I remember we went up there for 2 weeks trip 1 year, and I was just about 12 or 13. We took the red car to San Gabriel, got up there and hiked up Mount Wilson, went to a place called the West Fork of the San Gabriel River and camped over night there, and made it into this Pine Flat area the following day, 2 day hike. And that was a big step for us, because we were going to a Forest Ranger camp. That's where it was organized. And they'd split us up into groups after we got oriented there. And one of the Forest Rangers would go out with each group on a 2 or 3 day turn out, the wagon wheel thing, to patrol the area for fire hazards and whatnot. And up at the top of the high point of this camp, there was a huge pine tree that was, had grown well for climbing to the very top of it. So we took our turns up there, and we also said that was big business, and had the binoculars, and we'd spawn the countryside out of and report any evidence of any smoke coming up anywhere, report to the ranger. That was class area. I enjoyed Boy Scouts. We camped at Catalina too a couple of times. Got near back at Pebble Beach there. And there were other places I don't remember. Dad got his pattern on the roll of printer, and of course, he was kind of fellow that he wanted money all the time, cash, and he never would invest, but we were up and down. We pulled 1 year and living in the lap of us for the next. He was good to us, but he was that kind. He spent more than me. That 1 year, I don't know what year it was, but long 1915, 16, or somewhere along there. He made $50,000, and in those days that was quite a bit of money. A year later, he didn't have anything. And what happened was he couldn't pay the rent or something. Well, that's probably what happened. But he was, he worked for a while on the Long Beach Police Department. And I don't know how long. Later on, I had a detective agency up in Los Angeles. I remember going up there with him, that's his class.
What did he do with the Long Beach Police
Department? He was a detective. And I remember there was a Mexican fella with the other detective on the force. There were just two or three detectives. I think there were two or three of them. A very small force in those days, because the town wasn't a 17,000-18,000 population. Mm-hmm. But later on, subsequent to his patent on the roller printer, I don't know where he got the idea. It's up in a dental chair somewhere. And where that was, I don't know. Might have been San Quentin or San Diego, Los Angeles. I don't know. But anyway, he came back into town again after we got over our real first spell. And just back to the beginning of level one. And he had invented a automatic toothbrush. The predecessor really of the electric toothbrushes, I should say, but it was one that you had to operate manually. And it rotated, as I remember. The only thing I ever saw was a blueprint of it there. Drawing of it. But Dad is quite a promoter, and how he got in contact with it, I don't know. But he traded that patent for 50% ownership in a meat market located on Pine Avenue. It was called the Queen City Market. Just almost right across from the Lewis Jewelry Store, Buffins, that was south of Broadway, north of First, and closer to Broadway, I believe. And then next door was the Japanese vegetable stand. And so he traded for half ownership in the meat market, and then later bought out the other half. And then it was one was getting going pretty strong. I was working part time as a butcher boy at Governor 1915 Red Devil, I call it, but one of these Model C Ford that had the crank, of course. And also, there was a call for steady young boys to help out in the farm area to more or less the Bixby, Fred Bixby Ranch. So one summer there, I went out and I was hired for working for a tenant farmer. Fred Bixby apparently had some tenant farmers on. this fellow, another name was a Belgian, and we have contact with all that.
No, I know he had Belgians who raised sugar beets and stuff out there.
And this was butter beans. I was piling beans. And I didn't work for about a week or less, and one morning I lived in the bunkhouse. I slept out in the bunkhouse, and I also remember the tremendous breakfast we had, wonderful food we had there, and I couldn't get up that morning. Something was wrong with me, and I was a grown man, and I just couldn't get up. And so they missed me out in the field, and they started looking for me, found me in the bunk, and I was one of the first cases around here of that influenza that was sleeping in. So they brought me into home, and I finally got all of it, and then all the rest of my family caught it, and I was recovering from it then, so I went right down to help out at the butcher shop, because my mother wasn't there, and she had been the cashier, and my dad wasn't there, and he managed and helped, and did the buying and saving, and he was quite a salesman. People liked him, and he made a lot of friends. But in his and my mother's absence, the people operating saying there was holiday season coming on, and we hoped to make quite a bit of money and come out. Instead, it went broke. They'd taken all the cash, and he didn't have any money to pay the bills. So he lost that too. And his next escapade, my life was known as tied to his that way. I mean, I have to tell about him because I knew he was predicated on that. How he did this, I don't know, but for a year or two, I don't know. So he was employed by the Hoffman Candy Company up in Los Angeles. They were one of the early manufacturers of these 5-cent bars, like the Milky Way and the Three Musketeers and those kind of bars. Later on, I saw thousands of them at the Potter High School student by the store. I worked for a store up there. Apparently, he got the idea of having his own candy factory. Well, it wasn't the same kind of thing, but apparently he promoted somebody, and I don't remember who the person was. And they built a structure down on the harbor there, the west side of town. It's all airfield now, but about Broadway or second, somewhere around there. They're down in the harbor district. They call it the Cloverleaf Chocolate Company. I have an article, I think, in the scrapbook on the thing. And they made the specialized different chocolates. I remember one thing they did for one of our unique features was a great big chocolate in just an individual box. And they're packing them. They're great huge chocolates. It's one of I don't know what they say, for 10 cents or something like that. And they're all hand dipped. And so I worked. I remember working one summer there as a helper to the candy maker. Mostly it was just one candy maker and a bunch of girls that dip chocolates and chocolate creams and. And I kind of like that because I like sweet. And that was also, I think, the year I attended ROTC at Camp Kearney in San Diego County. Yeah, I was in high school then, and when I came on back the next semester, then I became an officer in the ROTC at Palo Alto. Let's see, I graduated in 1922.
And you only went to two schools in Long Beach, Blanchard and
Pollock? I have to clarify that. No, I went a short time to Alameda's school. I think it was about 10th in Alameda's Avenue, Long Beach. I went there because I remember, I think Dutch Miller and his brother Eric went there. But they became famous at their players at Pally. Like I saw Dutch a few weeks ago at a party we attended for a lunch with Chet Dyer at California Club in Los Angeles. He and Gus Walker and about two carloads of us from Long Beach. The California Club in honor of Chet Dyer. And, I went there a short time. I went one semester or two, I don't know. But we went, I wound up at 9th Avenue, finished there in 19. Middle year, I entered Poly High from Atlantic. And, but I had been out of grammar school for a year and a half working, so I was behind the class year and a half. But I finally caught up with them and graduated. Well, early. I did it in 3 years instead of four. So, and what did I, and my dad about that time, we were doing this going on in, not only Southern Head, but Santa Fe Springs. And dad was, occupied selling units in those days. There were some stock companies, but many of them they sold $1,500 units in these promotions, and some of them were successful. That's how C.C. Gideon got started. I know his record pretty long. He was successful though, he got less. But the company dad was worth selling for there were two guy holes just over the fence from north of the little hospital at Norwalk there in the Norwalk area, county hospital for demented persons, I think. And I remember they used to bring the beaners out there from all over the country, Long Beach and all over Los Angeles and all the towns, and they'd get them on the street corners and invite them to come out to see the grounds on and hear a lecture on the oil business, and they'd erect the tent about a sideshow size circus tent and tables and chairs, and they'd fill in the meal van of roast beef and potatoes and gravy and a roll and a piece of apple pie, I think. Then the silver tongue relative come out. Silver tongue relative, and I remember Gilbert. And I went out there one time. I was waiting for a union at that time, driving a Model 2 Ford. And I went out there for a girlfriend on one time, but listen to it and have lunch out there. And this Gilbert was lecturing and got about in the middle of his dissertation, and then come out of all feels like he's right on a platform out there. He says, "What am I going to do?" He says, "The thing's getting away from us." He said, "Well," he says, "see so-and-so, see so-and-so, and but had big connections so everybody could hear it, of course." And then they got everybody to buy in units, all the excitement. And then it was all right. They grew two dry holes there. The trouble was they were about, less than a quarter mile down structure. So they were off structure. There wasn't any chance for anybody. They didn't know it. They thought they were going to get away, but Southern Mass. They just got the quickest, cheapest places they could get, and they're not promoting, that's all. But, I sense the idea I wouldn't make too well looking. God wanted me to work for him, if I wouldn't.
How come you call people that brought out there bean eaters?
How's that?
How come you call the people that was brought out there bean eaters?
Bean eaters? Well, I didn't mention all the seven beans and certainly roast beef and beans and potatoes. I didn't mention beans at first, did I? That was my oversight, but we got to call them bean eaters because they go out to get a plate of beans. And that's the way they make their money. And that was about 1923 around there. We had the jitney buses in Mondays, of course, the Model T's that ran out of the town. And, some of the ones that ran out east would go as far as Sea Beach, and Long Beach was in the position of being a desert surrounded by alcoholic beverages all around them. It was, they had taken a dry option here in Long Beach. They took a get those taxi drivers, those jitney bus drivers, to bring the back liquor for a fee, and because the ones that ran out east would just go to get five and go to Sea of Beach and they could buy it there. Or over to Goose Town, which is Wilmington, they call it Goose Town, and the jitney buses didn't go there, but we had a red air now that was done in the last time, if that was all right. So this was a dry area here. They're taking local option, that's a such was the law in those days in language. Well, probably our days were good planning. I couldn't afford to go out that way because I had to work to stay in high school. And so I got a job in a job in the student body store. That was a sort of a business training thing. We got a credit for it. But we got paid $2.50 a week. Might have been enough to buy my lunch or more. I had a little left over at the end of the week because I could buy a lunch for 25 cents, or 25, 30 cents. And I liked high school. And then but I couldn't afford to play athletics. I know my senior year I read an ROTC, and Eddie Keenoff was the famous coach. He coached some of those famous championship teams, one for 5 years. And he saw me out there just scrubbing around, and he said, "Why haven't you been out for football?" He said, "You better get that body out here this next season." I said, "Sorry, coach, I said, it's my last year." I said, "I can't afford you. I have to work. Can't work." So, because I wasn't that good. If I'd have been a more good dowry, I could have afforded it. But I wasn't that good. I would probably wound up being maybe a pretty fair lineman, and that would be about it. But Mary Gary was at Yankton 2 the other day. The other day, it's been 6 weeks ago, I suppose. Chuck Dyer and some of the other football players, Hogan Evans and Eric Miller. And so I graduated out in 22,
What other kinds of jobs did you have besides
working at store? Yeah. Oh, various things. I worked for a shoe store for a long time, 1 year. On Pine Avenue, I don't remember, about the 4th or 5th or somewhere along there, selling shoes. And one summer I worked for Bishop Candy Company up in Los Angeles. And before I was a red car up there every day, I worked one summer there, and that was the, that was in 21, that was the year of the discovery of the world. That was number one. I worked helping a candy maker making hard candy, mostly all those suckers and